Yeah.
Made up. made up. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. How much do you make up about your life? How much do you invent about your own life? How much do you rely on, do you defend that you made up?
Too much. All of everything.
Oh my God. Oh, you're right.
All of it.
Okay. Yeah. Trusting stuff that you fabricated. Yes. So much of it. Yeah. So before we start, let's have a little meditation, where I want you to look at that aspect of your mind, and that is, you the teacher. You the teacher. You may read books like A Beautiful Course in Miracles. You may go see people, and you may listen to them. You could be, but you may read in the newspaper. You may have life experiences face to face, you and that. You, the teacher, was there in all these situations. I never taught you anything. This book never taught you anything. It is always your entire life and the rest of your existence because of what you really are. Nobody, nothing else will ever teach you anything. Everything comes through you personally. When you decide to learn something, it's because you opened and you recognized, I'm a pointer, a signpost, I take you nowhere. The book takes you nowhere. Let's think about you, the teacher. What part your own mind actively plays in you learning, or you perceiving, or you judging, etc. You, the learner. You, the teacher. Can you learn something? You steadfastly do not want to know? Will you learn something that you believe is not true? When it comes time to learn something you want to learn, what part do you play? What does it mean to learn? What is the cost of learning in your mind? And finally, can you pick something, just a word or a phrase, to share with the group if you like? What's something that happens in the mind during learning, or before learning, or after learning, but around learning? What happens? Just pick something, just a word or a phrase. Of Course in Miracles very specifically talks about learning as change. And yet in a spiritual program, what change is there really? It's a very interesting topic, I think. So if you will, let's teach each other what learning is. Can you pick a word? What's a word you have? A word or a phrase? Teach us about learning.
Oh, something that what teaches me about learning is other people. When I learn something, I kind of get a new idea.
Yeah.
And in the past, I would, oh, this is cool. You didn't want them to do the mistake. But when you see them doing it, sometimes you'll think, well, I'm going to show them that. And when I stop and just see what they're doing, mm-hmm. they give me the example to kind of give me that I receive back from them, will show me how things don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't make an issue over it,
yeah,
sometimes they figure it out.
Yeah. See, it's a teaching, learning. It's
yeah,
a circle.
Yeah, it just changed my... Because I always wondered how you know, it just all of a sudden comes, and it just... It's kind of what... I mean, like, when you were asking the question, all that was coming to me, how sometimes I want to help people doing that. Uh-huh. Listen to them, what they're giving you, what you just learned.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And...
Validating it. Reflecting it back to you.
And it's just like, whoa, it's pretty cool. And then I feel more thankful for that. It's a different... And, yeah, then they will...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had it happen once to me, and the other person just kind of turned around and gave their answer back to them. I was like stunned. I didn't say a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's... You know, sometimes it's better to be quiet.
Yeah, a joining occurs even with your mouth closed.
Yeah. Wow.
Kim, what's something about learning?
Well, we're always learning something.
Yeah.
I think by watching people or just walking through life, for me, it's what do I want to focus on?
Uh-huh.
What I want to learn.
Ah, there it is.
So, when I have my intention to go... Because I want to learn spirituality. That's always been a path for me.
Mm-hmm.
Of Course in Miracles is my path right now.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's in any way related to that. So I put myself in a position to, I mean, of the things I listen to and read, and I spend a lot of time doing that because I want to learn that. And in the process, I go through my day and I observe people in a different way. And I see how we are all so very different yet so much the same. And we all react off each other and teach each other. And things become much more clear with just the whole, I guess.
Yeah, you said something very important to me, which is you're learning all the time, but you must focus on what you want to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, as we learn in this book, readiness is not mastery.
Mm-hmm.
Having been exposed to something, memorizing something, doesn't mean you own it.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't mean you live it. Doesn't mean you have it to give.
If you focus on something long enough, it will become a belief of yours.
Mm-hmm.
So if you nurture the path for
mm-hmm.
me,
mm-hmm.
I nurture this path that I want to go into,
mm-hmm.
it becomes more and more second nature to me, more than the way I used to be before.
Nice. Because you want it, and therefore you start to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what faith is.
Mm-hmm.
Is you actually walk that belief.
Mm-hmm.
Day by day. And A Course in Miracles says that then this is what being is, right? You're actually being that. And A Course in Miracles says having is being.
Mm-hmm. And if I want to understand something like, it's not part of me yet, but I know it to be true, but I don't yet quite believe it to be true,
mm-hmm.
because it's just not ingrained in me yet.
Mm-hmm.
But my if you're taking levels of consciousness, the one that's not very deep yet believes it to be true.
Ah.
I have to focus on it and think about it and study it and pray about it, and the more and more that I do that,
yes,
then it starts to become true for me, and then I believe it.
Yeah.
But it's, when I know I want to go down that way, I just do what I want. I do what I know I need to do to get there.
Yes, and it's you who want it.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't want it, it was something you did not want to be true, you did not want to learn, you would find something else to do with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Including being angry,
mm-hmm.
being more lonely, being more tired, being more feeling fearful or guilty, all the things, the opposite things A Course in Miracles teaches, you could do with your ego has a way to do those
mm-hmm.
all day.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's the teaching
mm-hmm.
you want becomes you the teacher.
Right.
Nice. Julie, what's something about learning?
Well, my mind went in both directions because really we are learning all the time, as Kim said, but our ego does most of the teaching. And so I just felt a lot like the reinforcement, like a really passive learning of just letting what has been our lives like to be reinforced over and over again instead of letting go. And so I think that true learning is there's an awareness, but I almost feel like that's going too far, because it's to truly teach and truly learn, there needs to be like a letting go of the way that we currently do things, and then usually the awareness comes. So it's like the not doing, like I'm not actively trying to learn at that point, I've just accepted that I'm not going to do it this way.
Here's the cost of learning. Mm-hmm. Letting go of the old trusted way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Walt, what's something about learning or teaching?
You're enthusiastic about something, you just do it. And sometimes you just know what to do.
Yeah.
I've been around so many people who it seems like they were born knowing certain things.
Yeah.
And I never understood that, but you just know. I mean, only one thing, you have to be very specific, but if that really catches your enthusiasm,
uh-huh,
it's almost like no one has to tell you anything about it. You can teach yourself.
Aha! Uh-huh. Yes, you can teach yourself, and the word I'm going to put on what you just described might be alignment. Personally, there becomes an alignment that mm-hmm. you're in front of something that rhymes with you, with what you want. It is something you choose, and you're willing to use this in place of what you already know. Mm-hmm. And there's a personal recognition of an alignment. And now you will pay the price of learning. But maybe if Carol is studying something, it may not be. Your enthusiasm probably won't show up if it's something that's not aligned with what you... This is why it's so important you recognize you are the teacher. You are the teacher. Mm-hmm. There's lots of help. Lots of help provided. But you are the teacher. And you will teach what you're enthusiastic about. Or you will wait for something to be enthusiastic about.
Yeah. And you'll just know it.
Yes. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Carol, what's something about learning?
Well, enthusiasm means infused with God. Infused.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. Nice.
I was just thinking so much along the lines of what Kim was saying myself, and then I was also thinking how sometimes I learn a lot by what I don't want to be. It's sad to see how some people are living their lives and what they're focusing on day to day. And so that entered my mind then about how important that is, noticing.
Yes.
That, yeah. And that being an inspiration. Yeah.
This is a price gladly paid. This is the price gladly paid. What's that lesson in the workbook? I gladly pay the price of fear. that it? Fear? I gladly.
I'm stunned and amazed. Shocked and disappointed.
Yeah, I can't remember the title.
I don't recognize that one.
I don't either.
Yeah. It's the essence of, it's pretty close to, I gladly pay the price of fear.
Yeah.
I just can't remember it.
All right.
All right, I'm low on blood sugar or something. But it is a lesson we will do all day long, is recognize that fear is a habit, a well-ingrained burden on the mind that seems normal living in a body, in this world, in time and space, with challenges of loss and gain. Fear is something that just comes with this world. It is to be released. Don't want it fearful. Especially after spending time with this course, learning that fear is your own invention and a block to the awareness of love's presence. Don't want that. Absolutely. What? Yes. How much certainty comes about as we recognize what's not free? The contrast. Contrast is the teacher. Go ahead.
I was thinking that today my ego was really coming on really strong.
Mm.
And I was just really having a hard time getting, just being so aware of it. I deliberately went to a bottom drawer and dragged out this sweatshirt that my daughter gave me 20 years ago to wear and remind myself, you know, love's the answer no matter the question. I was just determined that I was going to make a shift today.
Mm. Nice.
In the way I was being.
Yes. Yes. Well, suppose you come here long enough, you've heard us say this phrase so many times. No matter what's going on, no matter how much of a contraction is going on in your life, how dark things may seem, you are one thought away from your peace. You're one thought away.
You know, Andrew, that sometimes I get in a place and something happens, I think, God, I feel like I'm so far away from getting something solved.
Yeah.
And then all I got to do is remember, I'm one thought away.
Yeah.
Goes away.
Boom. Wake up.
Yeah. Like, all right, I'm only one thought away, so don't worry about it. Problem solved.
Problem solved. Yeah. A little willingness to step back, not to go do something. That would take some kind of a hero, right? We learn this. Michaeline, what's something about learning?
Well, teaching and learning are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Things I think I know that I'm extending is really oftentimes appears in another way back to me. You know, so I think paying attention to paying attention and trying to turn off the pieces in my head that try to tell me what things are and what they mean, because I don't know. And I think it's recognizing that really I don't know about that. I just know I know how effective silence is, right? And teaching is being that which is true. And I don't always know what's true. Mm. I know the truth is true, right?
Yeah.
But in the world...
Yeah.
I learn kind of by just paying attention.
Yeah.
Paying attention, not just the people around me, the things around me, but the whole world.
Yeah. You're reminding me of Walt's enthusiasm word.
Right.
There's lots of things for which you would not be enthusiastic about in carols. There's lots of things I don't want to learn, I don't want to be, I don't want to do, and I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, I woke up at 3 in the morning, and I haven't woken up at 3 in the morning feeling despondent like I did.
Ah.
And, you know, it's judgment comes up.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm judging myself, I'm not doing something right, that I'm having this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of accepting and embracing what it is and paying attention to it and not trying to assign it
yeah.
the meaning. I guess meaning
yeah.
fits well, in there somehow.
Yeah, you're searching for and trying to know the meaning, trying to know what should be happening. A big story comes about. And what's the solution? You're one thought away from it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you go still and you get present.
Right. And the path of least resistance does seem to open my mind a little bit. Like if I'm resisting it or thinking, I've got to figure it out. I have to figure out what's going on. Why am I feeling this way? It's all head stuff. It's real stuff.
Yeah, ego chatting it up with you.
Oh, yeah. So,
when you said, I do not know.
When I say I do not know, and then I just get quiet, and then I just embrace what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it in an active way with people. If I don't understand what somebody's trying to say, if I'm in a situation or witnessing a situation that I don't understand,
it's a big burden to know.
It's a big burden to already know. It's not what I know.
Lest ye be as little children, you cannot enter the gates of heaven.
So,
little kid doesn't know, and he knows he doesn't know. He's like easy learning, quick study. Yeah. Nice.
So, the approach is different. The Course in Miracles of Learning and Teaching, and that it's the curriculum isn't about stuff out there, right? And in some ways it is, because it's a reflection of what's inside, but it's really...
But it's not a doing. It's an undoing.
It's a being. It's being. An acceptance.
It's an undoing,
that's when
right?
I learn the most.
Yeah. Learning what you are. You're going to have to remove the blocks to the awareness of what you already are. Good, good. Luann, what's something about learning?
Started off with the whole idea that before I can learn anything, I have to lose control of what I think I already know. Which means I have to be willing to give up my belief systems in lots and lots and lots of areas.
Yeah.
And the willingness comes because the teacher is in there pushing and pushing and pushing. It seems like making it harder and harder and harder for me to hold on to what I'm believing.
Uh-huh.
Till it gets to a point where I finally say, okay, if you tell me not to believe that anymore, tell me what I am supposed to do. And then the answer to that is, all you have to do is open your mind and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So learning for me isn't really about all the stuff in this world I'm supposed to be paying attention to, according to the world. It's about paying attention to what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out of me from the teacher, so into my cognizance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically it's being willing to give up control of what I think I know.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah. And I get tortured until I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes it just comes really easy, and sometimes I have a belief system that is so strong that giving it up is just almost impossible.
We torture ourselves.
Yeah. The Course says you will not give up something that you believe is true. Will not give up something you believe is true.
I am having allergy problems and my ears are ringing like mad, so I'm not hearing very well tonight, I can usually do.
Okay.
But anyway, and I've been sick, well, I haven't been sick, but my allergies have been raging.
Uh-huh.
Then there was one other thought I wanted to say about that, if I can remember, it would be nice. When you get to my age, the one nice thing about it is you don't remember a lot, so therefore you have things you don't have to give up anymore.
And I hope you can watch the same movie over and over again and stop having to rent new movies. I'm looking for that day.
So part of me says there's not much in this world that I can learn from. acceptance of the world as it is.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said mm-hmm. You learn about you.
I learn about me. That's what my role... I've always said my spiritual role is to find out who I am, because God's experimenting by having created me of itself, and it wants to know what itself is. So my mm-hmm. job is to figure it out.
Of Course in Miracles says that the Holy Spirit, which is the part of your mind still mm-hmm. connected to the truth, will now use the world you made to be separate to teach you about your unity.
So then that led me on to one of the times where my feeling of unity has been there without me having to struggle for it.
Nice.
Meditate or do any of that
mm-hmm,
other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes when I am eye to eye, so to speak, with something I love.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm loving, the unity is there.
Mm-hmm. Flows. Yep. Connected.
And that's
nice.
The only thing, the easiest way, and it's the only way I really like to get to that sense of unity.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do that it's like pointless.
That's right. If it's enthusiastic, it's easy. Yeah.
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 So this book, I'm just new to it, remember.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going very slow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it, and it says it's okay if I don't believe it, and I'm saying, okay, as long as it's okay,
yeah.
I can continue going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's getting to a point, and I figure it's almost like it's promised mm-hmm. that eventually I will get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just continuing to go, and it's easy to do it as long as I don't feel like there's any obligation in me to learning anything in it. It's just going to come to me someday.
Isn't that nice? Or in the book, or somewhere in the text, I think it says, maybe it's the workbook too, it says, you know, really there's no hurry. Take as long as you like. And he's in the text, and he says, you know, and if you decide that you don't want to choose peace, I'll be here when you change your mind. Go ahead, do whatever you want to do.
I think I'm about my sixth time through.
Mm.
I've never read a book this big that many times.
Yeah.
But I'm only just getting to the point where I feel like I'm starting to really understand the words.
Yeah.
And I feel like every time I read it, I'm reading it for the first time.
Yes,
and it gets more interesting and more yeah. exciting every time I read it.
Yeah.
Because I understand it better.
Yeah.
But I was the same way. I just said, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I just kept reading on through. I just keep doing it.
Yeah.
It gets better.
And if a paragraph is difficult and you can't make any sense of it, mm-hmm. just read the next one.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't explain what you're reading, you will get aligned. It will pick up, your enthusiasm will boom, and you will find yourself in the next paragraph.
There's still a feeling behind it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like
it'll give you a feeling, even if you don't totally understand it.
Yeah, you still change. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
still there.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of learning.
Yeah.
It seeps in.
This is a different kind of learning is exactly what I'm getting at. I don't learn from the outside world particularly. I mean, I learn stuff in order to live in the outside world, but I don't learn about who I am as the learner
yeah.
from the outside world.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the book is not a book about behavior. Nothing in here is about behavior. This is a book about you.
Thank you for saying that about the paragraph.
Ah.
Because I just recently had an experience with a paragraph. And I had a lot of emotion in the reading of it, and I did it like at an intellectual level, understand it.
Yes.
And I also am aware that this is not an intellectual exercise.
Yeah,
right? Because
right.
it's a spiritual teaching.
Yeah.
But then I went to read the next one, the next paragraph. And while I didn't completely understand that previous paragraph,
yes,
I
yes.
felt comforted by the following
yeah.
paragraph. Somehow
yes.
it wasn't like it was okay that I didn't understand. It was like
yeah.
this is part of the process.
Yes.
That this is how it...
And if you're ever having a hard time in your life and you turn to this book, I would recommend you always do.
Mm-hmm.
Read it out loud.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. If you have to go in the car, go away from do it. If you had to go someplace, fine. Or just buck up and just start reading it out loud.
I write out a paragraph. For the experience as a writer, I just...
Nice. It will surround you. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the early days I was doing this, and I would just read a page out, didn't matter what page, read a page out loud, and I would just feel hugged. Mm-hmm. I would just feel embraced by the truth for a few moments, and everything reset. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same here, Kim. All right. Mm-hmm. The book, it's just again and again. Now, 25 years, and I completely rededicated myself again to it just 2 weeks ago. Saw a page. We'll probably look at it tonight. I'm so excited about it. I was like, wow! This is great stuff.
I love your enthusiasm.
Oh my God. One book, all of this. Yeah. New guy?
Gregory.
I almost said Edgar.
I know. I thought he's going to come to me now. You forgive me.
It's so refreshing to be in a room full of enthusiastic learners. People so dedicated. Awakening. I can really resonate with what you were saying. I have found that willingness to be the key to my unraveling of what I think I know. And sometimes it's even just to be willing to be willing. I can't find the willingness. It's like it can empty out my brain of what it knows. Mm. And I let go of being so smart and allow things to be different than I think they are. Mm. And because I agree that it's the us experiencing the truth that makes the truth the truth, and that there's the master inside of us all, and the teacher inside of us all, that so beautiful to, I mean, we can be in the dark waking up to the light, but to know that to us that we're waking up to.
Nice.
It's so beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah. That's true.
Nice.
Glad to be here and to meet you all and to be in a room full of openness and heart and love.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming, Gregory. Well, let's just jump to lesson 318 for Gregory real quick so I can use his name a few more times.
Well, can I just say I found the lesson you were looking for.
Oh, you did?
And it's so close to what you
said. Come on, lay it on me. Heal my mind.
But I didn't even remember this one. I gladly make the sacrifice, and it's in quotes,
yes,
of fear.
Of fear, that's it. I gladly make the sacrifice of fear. That's it. Yeah. Which one?
323.
That's where we're going.
323.
Number lesson 320, right?
Yeah. 323.
What page?
323. But let's go to 318 instead.
Text or in the
let's go to workbook, page 459. Which one?
459.
459?
Yeah, page 459 in the workbook. And so many people touched on this theme as we looked at learning and teaching and how it's an inside job, even learning about myself, I need to be enthusiastic. It's a choice I want. I mean, what kind of awakening is that? And then Gregory, he says, wow, it's me I'm learning about. Am I willing to put in the work of learning when it's me I'm learning? Oh, yeah. You know, read that for us? Lesson 318, the whole thing.
Okay.
That's it. Way in the back of the book. That's it. Yeah.
In me, salvation means and in are one.
in me, God's Holy Son, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. But could conflict when all the parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands alone or one of more or less importance than the rest? I'm the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek.
I was created as the thing I seek.
Yeah.
That's what Gregory's teaching us.
I am the goal the world is searching for.
I am the goal the world is searching for.
I am God's Son, His one eternal love. I am salvation's means and end as well.
Do you see the circle? Everybody, what is the law of mind, the law of love, the law of the Holy Spirit? What
as
is
you
it?
Give, you receive.
They're all the same?
They're all the same. In this book, as you give, you receive. It's the circle. It's a circle. And if you're going to be learning, he says, Gregory says, just be willing to be willing. Do you see the circle start to roll? Do you see it start to come in back to itself already? Just with the smallest willingness? As you give, then you receive. Can't give a whole lot, give a little, get a little. But in that, the circle begins to roll. And your mind moves. Yeah, good. Please continue.
Let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. For thus does what is thereby reconciled in me, does become as surely recounseled to you.
Reconciled to you. And so there's so much in these last. We'll unpack it another day. But let's just look at it again. It says, let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request, not your demand, your insistence. It's just an invitation. That I accept atonement for myself. There's the teacher-learner in the same spot. That you do this. It doesn't happen to you. Kind of wish it would sometimes.
Easier,
right? Come in, come out of heaven and just straighten me out, God. But no, can't do that, because that would defy, that would deprive you of the very power of your being. You creator you. You free soul you. I can't. You become a victim of peace? Is that what you want? No. Lesson 34. Choose once again.
What?
I can choose peace instead of this is lesson 34.
That's a good mantra.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I use this.
Yes.
I haven't lately, but when I go through uncertainty, that always seems to help.
Yes. Yes. Because it's so important for any learner to know they can learn. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you've been trying for years. Maybe you wish. Maybe you shoulda, woulda, coulda. Mm-hmm. But to know that you can is absolutely essential. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. If you don't believe you can have peace, if you don't believe you deserve love, if you don't believe you can actually have joy, you are putting a limit in front of yourself over which you will not cross.
I was like that. I did not believe I could have joy. I did not believe I was worthy of joy.
Yeah.
I had to spend a lot of time on that.
Yes.
Give myself permission to be joyful.
Yes. Give myself permission to be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
even to just try it once.
As an experiment. If this works, then I'll try maybe one more thing and see if it works.
It's true, though, and there was something you said a few months back that just is resonant, like, speaks to, I feel like, that point of one time you said that, I can't remember how you phrased it, but that all the experiences in the world can come in a million flavors, but the holy instant is always the same, or that moment of peace is always the same.
Yeah.
And that struck me so much at that moment, because, I mean, you could have a flash of 10 different examples go through your mind where always when you reach that peace, it is a constant, or that joy.
Yes.
And so when you step into it, when you allow it even for a moment, then one, you have the experience, so you now know that.
Yeah,
but then it's like when you experience it again, you begin to see the constancy of that. Mm-hmm. And
familiar.
Right.
The familiarness of it, and then it becomes more, I don't like to use the word normal, but it
natural.
Becomes more natural.
Like home.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
And you can see.
Yes.
That you yourself are blocking yourself from.
Yes. This is huge.
Because it is constant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you return to it, and it didn't go anywhere. You went somewhere away from it in your stories and imagination, and you come back to that same center of the storm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What a comforting experience is that.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know that it's there.
And where is it?
There is wherever you experience it.
In you.
Yeah.
There you are.
Well, I've seen it in children. They're not conscious, but they exude joy, or they exude peace.
Yeah.
They exude delight.
Yeah.
And if you're seeing it in a child, now you know they're not conscious of what they're doing, and we have that as our block, by the way.
Yeah.
But when we let ourselves open to it, it's there.
Yeah. Funny, huh?
And it can last for a long, long time.
Yes. And the cost was not doing anything but an undoing.
Yeah.
Turn to workbook 160. Turn to workbook page 160. So, you know, turn back 200 pages. Mm-hmm. And look at...
You're putting me way ahead of the lesson I'm on back.
Well, we're not going to read the whole thing, so I won't spoil it.
You wouldn't spoil it anyway.
And then, Kim, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 9?
9. Yes. 160, paragraph 9.
Yes.
I don't see that.
The strength?
Now, you're not in lesson 160. You're on page 160.
Oh.
In the lessons,
In the workbook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the workbook.
Wait, page in the lesson book.
Page 160 in the workbook.
The you're there, I'm not.
I'm on page 160, paragraph 9.
You're doing great, but Julie here is like off in the text.
Confused.
She's teaching me.
I know, this is
confused.
A challenge.
I know, I'm easily confused.
Yeah, don't ever underestimate the ego. It will go to the text when I say workbook pretty much half the time. All right.
Okay.
Yep.
The strength in you will offer you the light and guide your seeing so you do not dwell on idle shadows that the body's eyes provide for self-deception.
Michaeline, did you hear what she just said? Take your time. Would you start
I'm
over?
I'm underlining it.
Would you
start over, please?
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Yes, because I could listen to this again. The strength in you will offer you the light and guide your seeing so you do not dwell on idle shadows that the body's eyes provide for self-deception. Strength and light unite in you, and where they meet, your self stands ready to embrace you as its own.
Mm-mm. Do you see the circle?
Mm-hmm.
You are created as the thing you seek. Whoa! How far are you away from your own recognition of the truth of you? Since it's you? Whoa! Okay, please continue.
Such is the meeting place we try today to find and rest in. For the peace of God is where yourself, His Son, is waiting now to meet itself again and be as one.
Oh, yeah. very comforting. And then it describes that we're... I love how it says, it doesn't say, go there. Hey, why don't you just suddenly go to the light in you? Doesn't that sound like fun? No. It says, it's kind of gentle. It says, this is a place we will try to reach today. Within the instructions, it's within your grasp today, in today's lesson. And here's a whole 350 words on coaching you into accepting this into your mind and actually owning it possibly today. Mm-hmm. And there's more, right? You're only halfway through the lessons. I love that encouragement. What other teacher, what other teaching of enlightenment takes you every single day and even hour by hour? This is a gift. Mm-hmm. This is gracious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay. But... record scratch. If you don't want to, if you'd rather be depressed, if you'd rather focus on some story that's in your mind, this will just wait, but you'll be miserable for a while. Right? This is, yep. We are here to bust the ego behavior that would take you away from your own peace. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing with this book. A Course in Miracles. What's a miracle? Anybody?
Shift in perception.
A shift in perception. Mm-hmm. And anybody from what to what? There's 100 answers, so pick
fear
one.
Fear to love.
From ancient, fear to love.
Dark to light.
An ancient.
From dark to light.
An ancient hatred becomes.
A present.
A present love.
hope that's written on your wall.
Say it again.
Say it again.
An ancient hatred becomes a present love.
It's a quote from the book. The most holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love. That's a miracle, the shift.
And I never thought when I first started that was possible.
Yes.
Well,
it's amazing.
As many times as I've heard that, I'm not really sure I understand exactly what that means. So does that mean like an ancient hatred, like somebody did me wrong ancient years ago?
You're thinking you can't have joy. Just knowing that you can't.
Oh. For all the reasons why.
Michaeline, would you teach us what it means to you?
What it means to me is that hatred doesn't... Well, it's different now.
Yeah.
But it did have sort of mundane meanings for me before.
Yeah.
From me hating my ex to finally embracing and loving my ex, which I never thought was ever going to be possible, to humankind's hatred of other things, like other peoples, like wars, like all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just an ancient hatred. It doesn't even have...
I love how you said it was mundane when you started, because that's actually how it always is in A Course in Miracles. So many passages are written so brilliantly. You will start out with whatever consciousness level you bring in, and it will be helpful. It will meet you where you are. But then, years later, as you work the book, it starts to mean something different.
Right.
Now, like for me, now the ancient hatreds are victimhood. I hate being a victim. I hate being out of control. I hate it. But now I understand where it comes from. And I love the ability to choose my control. I love the ability to lose control.
Nah, that I can relate to.
I love it.
But, yeah.
I love the ability to regain.
Without judging. I mean, that's the freedom.
Without losing.
And that's where we really learn.
Without losing.
Without losing.
For me.
Right.
Because victim and losing, there is no win there. I mean, that just sucks.
So I'm thinking, like, the world being so chaotic, and then you come to a place where the world is not so fearful and so chaotic anymore.
Yes.
That you have, you understand that it means nothing, and it doesn't have the same kind of power over me.
Yes.
Like that.
And with your Holy Spirit in tow, this chaotic world event that happens with the Holy Spirit's perception, we call it Christ's vision, that occurs to you is actually a sweet expression of love when the child, lost child, through a horrible event gets comfort from the one remaining parent. Mm-hmm. That's a bittersweet, right? Because one of them's dead, one of them's alive. But you know,
they're lighting the light. The light that they don't see, the light they don't think, the darkness is there. Light.
Yes.
And then the contrast. You see it. And,
yes,
and
so dark.
Your fire is next to theirs, and it lights.
Yeah, and suddenly there's a love embrace in a very, very, very dark place. An ancient hatred becomes a present love. This contrast of a beautiful place on earth, a holy instant, back to the holy instant. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reminds me of World War I in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And at Christmas, they always had a truce.
Yeah.
And the French would hand over the wine, and the Germans would hand over the...
Yeah, they play some football and stuff. Call a truce. All right, nobody shoot anybody. Let's get up for a minute.
Let's just have a little bit of love here.
Okay, but as I say, in order to experience this wonderful learning, if you will, there does have to be a willingness, isn't there? It's very personal. It's very, very personal. Nobody can do it for you. To choose peace, to choose joy, to take a risk and actually not fight and listen instead in a relationship with a loved one, that takes some courage. Because the old way was that you would get trampled on. If you don't speak up now and get your points, if you don't speak up right now and put them in their place for having said what they just said, you're going to lose more. Wait a minute. Where's the love? Where's the love? Let's reverse that. Let's ask them to clarify where their heart is. In the middle of a fight? Are you kidding me? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Take a risk. Fighting has not worked before to bring you any closer. Okay? So, that little willingness. Let's read a little bit more into that. We'll jump around a lot, okay? So, let's try... Text 201, so front of the book, it's way up front, half an inch in, 201, and it's like paragraph 4. Yes, Kim, are you, who's at the back?
Julie,
would you read for us paragraph 4?
Only you can deprive yourself of anything.
Okay, now, do you see the circle going backwards? If you're being deprived, it is you blocking. You doing the denying. Yeah, fantastic. Please continue.
Only you can deprive yourself of anything. Sorry. Do not oppose this realization, for it is truly the beginning of the dawn of light. Remember also that the denial of this simple fact takes many forms, and these you must learn to recognize and oppose steadfastly, without exception. This is a crucial step in the reawakening. The beginning phases of this reversal are often quite painful, for as blame is withdrawn from without, there is a strong tendency to harbor it within. It is difficult at first to realize that this is exactly the same thing, for there is no distinction between within and without.
Metaphysics of A Course in Miracles is spoken. The beginning phases of this reversal are often quite painful. And we've lost people from this group who have started doing the workbook and made it through about less than 40 or so, 30s, into the 30s, and just said, you know what? Life's worse now.
Life is worse.
Yeah.
For days.
I'm reading this, and I felt some good energy in it, and they did not read the text. And I don't think you met this one person I'm thinking of, but she was the poster child because she says, I'm going to do this. I feel power here. This seems right. And you were here. And this gal started doing, she jumped ahead and started doing the workbook. and she felt some significance and similarities with Buddhism, which she had learned and stuff, but it started showing her her own participation in her misery. And she just got depressed and depressed. She never made it to lesson 42. She never made it to all this love. But man, I'll tell you, you've got to undo the ego's grip on you, and you've got to find out what's holding you in the dark. Yeah, yeah. It's a new source of depression, this book.
It's frightening. I
can see that. There's stuff in here that can I go, whoa.
I thought it was going to be the end of the world.
I honestly
thought I was going to die if I did this.
Yeah.
I did, and I thought I was going to alienate what few friends I felt like I had left.
Yes, yes.
So I thought, God, I'm going to be so alone,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I felt that. It's amazing. I'm in awe that I stuck with it,
yes,
too, you know?
Yes, and then the light dawns.
Mm-hmm.
A little dark night of the soul occurs. That gift is available in this book as well. But you can't keep doing the old way. That's what made you miserable in the first place. And this book knows that. Mm-hmm. Has to undo the bad habits. And it might be some painful stuff going there. But the freedom, the warmth of getting back to the fire of truth, I'll take it. I love how this. Yep.
War Against Yourself, chapter 23, that was one that...
Whoa!
You know, this, like, holy shit, you get like... I'm just like depressed. What this is? Then I go. Well, I read from the point. And I go. Okay, I'm gonna go read that book. It's gonna shoot me out of that, and I'll come back to it. I'm not gonna quit with it, but I had to take a break.
Because
you will. That's one thing about this one.
Well, this is why it's so important to read the text first, how painful as it may be.
Yeah.
Because the workbook is going to ask you to do things that are high bar, that are very challenging, but that's the radicalness that will bring you to peace. But you need some certainty that there's authority here, is value, is validated, that I should follow this crazy guide.
Mm-hmm. What's that lesson? One of the lessons says that the textbook, you can turn it into a lesson. What was that?
Bill.
Lesson. One that talks about that. What lesson that was? Rick was showing me that one, but... A lot of times when I do the text, it literally turns into a lesson.
Oh, the lessons are in the text many places. You'll actually see the same words.
Yeah.
The way I read it, it just literally, because I will, now I'm reading it as, I don't just read through it time and time. Now I'm stuck, so I read each chapter six times probably.
Yeah, I have a guide, it's free on the website, and it's Course in Miracles in 1 Year. And it will give you a couple of pages from the text, it'll give you a miracle principle for that day, it'll give you a lesson for that day, and it'll give you a page out of the manual for teachers, usually something like that. And you can go through the course and see everything in a year, all the lessons and the text, and it's amazing, and it's just random. I just divided things up, but it really seems like I did it on purpose. And that page in the text goes with this workbook lesson so much, so it's just because it's so consistent, the whole teaching.
Oh, well, since we're somewhere, wherever we are, on guilt.
Yeah.
Isn't
we haven't been there for a while.
You miss it?
Everything else I've been reading has been on guilt. He's got to refer to this at the next class.
Right?
No, because it's just what he was talking about.
I know it. Suddenly it's all over the book.
It's so all over.
It really is quarterly teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so easy to ignore the first three times through.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, I know, Kim. It's amazing. It's amazing. Look at this paragraph again. Only you... Okay, first of all, I'm going to have Julie... Okay, Julie, now that you've finished... You finished reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you finished reading, okay, and you see how it's kind of pointing back to you, in the beginning phases, this reversal often quite painful, for as blame is withdrawn from without... In other words, they didn't do it to me. The book is teaching me they didn't do it to me. Lesson number two, I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. As that starts to become obvious, there's a strong tendency to harbor it within and start to blame yourself. Yeah, stop that. Start to see you see nothing as it is now. The very next lesson, right? Or within a few. Okay, now, please, Julie, would you go back up to the previous paragraph, 3, and... Start with
Actually, you can just read the whole paragraph. The first few sentences won't make any sense, but go ahead and read paragraph 3 for us.
Your peace lies in its limitlessness. Limit the peace you share, and yourself must be unknown to you. Every altar to God is part of you, because the light He created is one with Him. Would you cut off a brother from the light that is yours? Would you not do so if you realized that you can darken only your own mind? As you bring him back, so will you return. That is the law of God for the protection of the wholeness of his Son.
Look at the law of God. You see the circle in the reference to the law of God? As you bring him back? Turn to text page 117, way up in the front of the book. Way up in the front of the book. And look at paragraph 4. Look at your part. Look at your part. Look at what you're doing. And Walt, when you're ready?
To be in the kingdom is merely to focus your full attention on it.
Period. And Luann was kind of saying, she says, you know what? I don't learn much from things out there, but I do learn about in here. Focus. Somebody else said focus. Kim said focus on what you want. Yeah. Spiritual journey is inward, despite all those distractions outward. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
As long as you believe you can attend to what is not true, you are accepting conflict as your choice. Is it really a choice? It seems to be, but seeming and reality are hardly the same. You who are the kingdom are not concerned with seeming. Reality is yours because you are reality. This is how having and being are ultimately reconciled, not in the kingdom, but in your mind.
Man, can you take it? Is he going too fast? I think he's going too fast. Oh my God. Isn't this great? So seeming reality is the same. You who are the kingdom. Remember we just read in 3:18? It says, I was created as the thing I seek. Talk about a circle.
Yoo-hoo.
That's it. You are the kingdom, are not concerned with seeming. Reality is yours because
you are it.
You are reality. Whoa! How far away from reality can you be when it's what you are? Of course, you don't see it, dreaming of yourself as this body walking around separate, alone, and tired. You're one thought away. Yeah. Yeah. This is how having and being are ultimately reconciled. Being, such a critical word in the spiritual awakening, right? No, I am the being. What is having? Having seems to be this overused word for the ego's world of materialism. He's co-opting it now. Holy Spirit is co-opting it now. He says, no, you can only have what you are. Having and being are reconciled. And not in some kingdom, but in your mind.
Because it's already true in the kingdom, but you have to just make it true in your mind.
Yeah. The kingdom is the truth. Your mind needs to return to the truth. That is the waking up, the awakening. Is the returning of your mind to the kingdom, to the truth. So the kingdom doesn't need it. It's already true there. Yes. Yes.
When I've been, I observe myself all the time. So
yeah.
I've been thinking about this, and I have had watched myself when I'm in this place of peace and grace and joy and that place where we like to stay.
Yeah.
And I will engage in, and I have no needs when I'm in that place. Mm. I have no needs at all. No needs, no wants, no nothing. I am good. And I'll engage in a conversation with somebody which takes me one word that takes me to a shadow of my past to say, oh yeah, that happened or whatever.
Yes.
I don't even really have to get into a deep, heavy conversation.
Yes.
It's just one something to bring it back into focus.
Yes.
And then I'll start to notice lack. Mm-hmm. In my life.
Yes.
Instantly.
You'll notice it. You'll start to see it. Holy you'll start to witness it.
And I'll be able to, I'll know it's because I engaged in that conversation.
Yes.
As small as it was.
Yes.
I'll know. I'm so sensitive to it now.
So you should be. Mm. Well, that's our paragraph tonight. We should be reading. So let's go read it now, and we'll come back.
I'm glad I led you right.
Roped us in. You roped us. You roped us back into the text. You roped us back to where we left off last week.
I meant to do that too.
Well done, artistic. Very well done.
Yeah.
Page 410, paragraph 13, lucky 13, is going to describe what Kim just went through. It's going to finish up this multiple paragraph.
Wait, in the workbook?
In the text on page 410, where we've been reading how your ego sends out messengers with a task. Fear, for example, will come back justifying fear. Lack, you send out looking for lack, and those messengers are programmed to come back with messages of lack.
And they'll wake you up in the middle of the night.
They will wake you up and say, I got it. I got something you really got to wake up about and worry about now. Because you sent out the worry messengers. Yeah. You bet. Paragraph 13. Yeah. And as it says, those messengers, their whole job and their survival is to bring back worry thoughts because that's what they live on. And there's an attraction to it, see? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You will, as you think, as you tell yourself these stories, as you seek for reasons to be worried, and then worry comes back, you'll say, aha, I've caught it. I think I'm getting somewhere, because now I know why I'm worrying. Trouble. Slippery slope.
I'm so sick.
If you have a reason why, you should be worried. That's not healing, is it? You're going deeper into the rabbit hole. Carol, read for us paragraph 13.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I would say, though, the use of the word why should be eliminated.
Talk to me, baby. Mm-hmm. What's a better alternative? What's a three-letter word?
Yes.
The Indians had it right. How?
How?
Why is troublesome because if you find out why...
That's your mind thinking.
Now it's justified, it's true... You're stuck with it.
Yeah.
But if the why was invented, and the how, now that, but you got to work with it, right? Because you're still feeling something, you're still thinking something.
Mm-hmm. But when I ask myself, how is that for you? Then I can start getting the answers, and it's a release rather than a continuation of whatever was going on before.
And watch out for the description of how bad it is for you. No. How should be, how is it that you are angry? How is it you're, not why, how is it you're worried? How is it you're feeling worthless? How is it you're feeling unfairly treated?
How do I get out of here?
Yeah. How is very practical and it's very much in the moment. How is not from the past. When I say how, when we have this discussion, and we'll have it many times.
It's also solution oriented rather than problem oriented.
Yes. It is perceiving what's going on now. Why is the past? Why is trying to decode the past and find out what happened in the past that made me a victim today? Why do I feel so bad? And then I call my friend and he says, here's why you feel bad, and here's what made me feel bad, and here's why you could feel worse.
Go read this book and I'll tell you why.
Yeah. But break it all. Snap out of that cycle. Stop teaching yourself victimhood. How, it was your mother. Why it was your mother treated you. She should have treated you differently. Oh, no.
I think so many of us grow up and we go through therapy. No offense to any therapists in the room, but we go through therapy. We're brought up thinking we've got to understand why we did certain things or went through certain experiences. But
that's not true for me. I say, if you ask me why, I can come up with a lot of reasons. Uh-huh. The real reason doesn't make any difference because it's not going to get you anywhere.
But in general, I think we do grow up that way, you know.
Oh, yeah, we are taught that way.
Indeed.
Therapist, you don't ask.
Indeed. And it's a valid path. It actually helps a lot of people, and it can work. Of Course in Miracles says, if you're willing, there's a much quicker path, and that is, what are you doing right now that hurts? Right? Well, I'm thinking about there you go, you're thinking about the past. Let's go do some workbook lessons, and we'll tell you about the past. And we start out with it. Yeah. Good. It's just going to wait. It's what awakening is. You awaken now. You don't awaken tomorrow, and you don't awaken in the past. You awaken now. All right. Okay, so there's so much great stuff I want to cover.
We're keeping you from it, aren't we?
Well, yeah, you guys always get in the way, but it's a good thing. All right, so who's up to the Carol? Would you read for us paragraph 13? Listen to what Kim described when she was feeling good, she was having a good day, and she talked with a friend, and somehow that discussion winded her back into lack. Go ahead, get it.
Send not these savage messengers into the world to feast upon it and to prey upon reality, for they were bringing word of bones and skin and flesh. They have been taught to seek for the corruptible and to return with gorges filled with things decayed and rotted. To them, such things are beautiful because they seem to allay their savage pangs of hunger. For they are frantic with the pain of fear and would avert the punishment of him who sends them forth by offering him what they hold dear.
For they, these are the messengers, these thoughts of lack that are seeking comfort. You send out thoughts of lack because there's a little bit of an attraction to lack. Especially if it's already in your mind. Nobody wants to be completely wrong. And that emptiness has a sense of, well, poor me. And it can go rest in darkness. Someplace it may be familiar with resting. This is just like a bad habit. But those thoughts will come back with what they're charged to send, to go find. They will.
Because we think constantly that that's how we're going to feel comfort.
Comfort.
But we're not going to get comfort because that's another kind of a circle.
That's right. That's right.
And you have said, and I agree with you in the principle, that what we're really seeking, the only comfort there really is love. The presence of love is the only comfort.
Yes.
And we're not going to get that in this particular circle.
That's right. And the lack thoughts are a call for love. The only answer is love. But the lack thoughts are not, they don't know this. They are not seeking love. They're seeking lack. But they are a call for love. So therefore, the only answer to a call for love is love. Look at, keep your finger here, we'll be right back. Flip to page 236.
It's like a bad Stephen King movie.
Like a bad, yeah. Okay, look at this. Okay, the section we're reading is called The Attraction to Guilt. How twisted is that? Who's attracted to guilt? Get out of here, right?
It's
whistle
attracted, it's a habit.
Okay, page 236 in the text. Lucky chapter 13. And Michaeline, would you read for us? We'll read the whole intro, three paragraphs.
Which paragraph?
One.
If you did not feel guilty, you could not attack. For condemnation is the root of attack. It is the judgment of one mind by another as unworthy of love and deserving of punishment. But herein lies the split. For the mind that judges perceives itself as separate from the mind being judged, believing that by punishing another it will escape punishment. All this is but the delusional attempt of the mind to deny itself and escape the penalty of denial. It is not an attempt to relinquish denial, but to hold on to it. For it is guilt that has obscured the Father to you, and it is guilt that has driven you insane.
Now remember, we've talked about guilt a lot leading up to tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm going to remind you of some of what we talked about in the most metaphysical way. And that is that the guilt, at its essence, is the belief that one thing can have an effect on another thing.
Separation
is real. Cause and effect are separated. This is how the world is made. This is how guilt seems to underpin and be possible or real. Because one thing, this is duality, one thing can affect a different thing. That affords guilt.
Projection.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of trippy.
Isn't it?
Yeah, if you look deep enough, you can see this, that. And it's easy to do that.
I think he's starting to touch on the essence of separation and duality and pluralism, right?
When it's all right inside yourself.
Okay.
Why is that so hard, though?
Oh, it's because it's the world. This is the world you live in. It's made up by this. This is
separation,
metaphysical underpinning
division,
of separation. Division.
It's like, actually, what I'm discovering is creativity.
Uh-huh.
Creativity is constantly, you know, we're created. When we're in a creative place.
Uh-huh.
It's not separated, though. But when we separate it, it's no longer creativity. It becomes the other.
And then when you separate it, you identify one of the pieces separated.
Right. And that's why we never see the whole picture.
That's right. Read the next paragraph.
We never see the whole picture of anything.
Read the next paragraph.
Okay. The acceptance of guilt into the mind of God's Son was the beginning of the separation.
Bing, bing.
Yeah. As the acceptance of the atonement is its end. The world you see is the delusional system of those made mad by guilt. Look carefully at this world, and you will realize that this is so. For this world is the symbol of punishment, and all the laws that seem to govern it are laws of death. Children are born into it through pain and in pain. Their growth is attended by suffering, and they learn of sorrow and separation and death. Their minds seem to be trapped in their brain and its powers to decline if their bodies are hurt. They seem to love, yet they desert and are deserted. They appear to lose what they love, perhaps the most insane belief of all, and their bodies wither and gasp and are laid in the ground and are no more. Not one of them but has thought that God is cruel.
Life in the body.
Fear. That's the
born, live for a while, your parents die, they all die, you die, even Jesus died. I mean, they all die. It happens to be the way the world works. Sentence one, the acceptance of guilt into the mind of God's Son was the beginning of the separation. That's why we're studying guilt so heavily. As acceptance of the atonement is its end. Oh, there's a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that A word is all over this book.
I like at one ment.
Yeah.
I like to say it at one ment.
Yeah.
Because it atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just kind of one of those weird personal things.
Yeah.
Atonement is though I've done something wrong and now I need to atone.
I know, I was raised Catholic.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at one ment is the what you said about. The at one minute is the taking away the I can't say it. I don't know.
It is a simple correction.
Yeah.
For the separation.
Yeah.
At one minute is fine. Yes. And what does it take to choose the oneness, you as part of the one? That's an atonement. You are included. Yes. To choose that. without lying to yourself. See, that's why the book is so long, because if you just say that, you're pretty much lying to yourself. You, the separated being, struggling against gravity, getting hungry from time to time, having to pay your bills. Ultimately,
or your taxes.
Or your taxes. Yeah. 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 So, somehow it seems like it's, you know, you and everything else as a separated being. This is a very natural thought. This book is saying, wait a minute. See, you dream a dream of being a figure in your own dream. You are smoking your own dope. And you're getting the results of being high on separation and addicted to a body. It ain't true. You are an extension of God. Yeah. Whew. Okay, so I'm going to hurry us on a little bit here. Okay, pretty sad paragraph, right? Pretty heavy? Kind of dark?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So, Lillian, would you read for us paragraph 3?
I'm sorry, paragraph 4?
Go for 3 on page 236.
If it did, love does not kill to save.
I know.
Page 236.
Page 236.
Oh, we're back on 236. Sorry.
Yeah.
And page 4.
Page paragraph 3.
Paragraph 3.
If this were the real world,
oh, okay.
God would be cruel.
If this were the real world, God would be cruel. For no father could subject his children to this as the price of salvation and be loving. Love does not kill to save. If it did, attack would be salvation, and this is ego's interpretation, not God's. Only the world of guilt could demand this, for only the guilty could conceive of it. Adam's sin could have touched no one had he not believed it was the Father who drove him out of paradise. For in that belief, the knowledge of the Father was lost, since only those who do not understand him could believe it.
What happened? Okay, that's one of the things that happened, is your own belief in separation, you could make it true. And your loving Father could not stop you, because you're dreaming! I'm just going to take a moment to remember the new guy's name. Gregory. I got it. Gregory.
Yeah,
well. Hey, pretty good.
Did someone say it?
I got some help. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They did. Somebody whispered it for me. Gregory, would you read for us paragraph 4?
This world is a picture of the crucifixion of God's Son. And until you realize that God's Son cannot be crucified, this is the world you will see. Yet you will not realize this until you accept the eternal fact that God's Son is not guilty. He deserves only love because he has given only love. He cannot be condemned because he has never condemned. The atonement is the final lesson he need learn. For it teaches him that, never having sinned, he has no need of salvation.
Well, there's some good news. There's a little hint at the end of what it's like for an awakening to be fully present, enlightenment, to recognize that the whole... It's just like when you wake up from a bad dream, or a good dream, but nonetheless, it was a dream, and it was not real. And there's a certainty has returned to you when you recognize the crazy things, especially in this bad dream. Nothing to it. Your fears are bad dreams. Your fears are actually prayers to the ego. Guilt is a prayer to the ego.
I had an interesting guilt thing today. So I was reading number 19, I think it was, and it says... my thoughts are having an effect essentially on other people as well as myself. Mm. I thought, oh my God, that means I'm going to be really guilty if I think something wrong.
That's funny. That's right, though, right? Innocently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Cut your ego. We're here to bust the ego, Luann. That's busting the ego. Nicely done. Yes, yes, yes. That's funny. But it's true. Whew. Okay, so, of course, we could spend a lot of time there, but... Oh, we just got to read one more little piece. I'll read it for you. Okay, look on the page 237 and look at paragraph 3 and look at sentence 2. It says, yet consider this. It says, you are not guiltless in time. No, you're guilty of sin in time, right? All right, you just are. You know it. But in eternity, you are guiltless. I love that little short little sentence. Good thing to meditate on. Good thing to get out of denial and recognize where you're going. Where is your spiritual awakening to? It's to eternity. It is not in time. Time is part of the dream of limit that allows the body to appear to be you. Yeah, you awaken from time itself to eternity. Yes.
All right. That kind of makes me want to cry.
Good. Yes, freedom.
Because
yes,
often I feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
and just the idea of at some point not ever feeling guilty again makes me want to cry.
Nice. Nice. This is the mm-hmm. like a sunrise. This mm-hmm. is like a sunrise after a cold night, Luann. A cold, long, dark night.
And I would love to feel like that was absolutely already here for me.
You see the sun now, Luann.
Yeah.
This is from where the tears come. Is that there's light. Maybe just the light on the horizon, but it's different now. It's lighter. It was dark. It was very dark. But you've seen just the smallest glimmer of light, and you know what follows. More light. A lot more light. All of the light is coming. This is what you know.
Okay.
It is now for you to receive it. Nothing you will do will stop it.
And now what's coming on the inside is, that means I'm going to have to, mm-hmm. I'm going to at some point let go of my ego.
Yes.
And when you talk about control,
mm-hmm.
when you're asking about the teacher mm-hmm. and the learner thing, mm-hmm. the first thing that came with me is, I'm going to have to give up control if I'm going to learn.
Yes.
And let the teacher teach
yes.
within me.
Control mm-hmm. will be available for you to duck into in a shadow, like we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You can go find shadows. The light is coming, Luann. It is coming. You can search for shadows, and you may, and you probably will. And the light will be blocked. You'll be standing behind something. The shadow only exists because the light is so strong now.
What if you didn't have to give up the ego, but you get to give up the ego?
Yeah, baby.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, because I think that's real control, isn't it? If I give up control, it's because I'm controlling giving it up. And you were talking about what you like to control because it feels good to never lose. I thought, yeah, you could choose not to.
Yeah, that's you can.
You're in control. You're in control.
You can.
Each time that experience happens, you experience the miracle.
Okay, we have just enough time to treat ourselves to page 449. 449 in the text. Okay. And you recognize 448, although we haven't been there in a while, but we will spend a lot of time on 448 in the future.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of our toolbox items. Again, on the website, we got the toolbox, right? It's for when the beep hits the fan, there are about a dozen places in this book that really can pull your ass out of the fire. And this is one of those pages. Responsibility for sight. Yeah. Totally.
We're on 448.
Yeah, 448 is what I'm pointing at right now. Yeah, 448. This is one of the places, those italics, this is one of the places that you can just reorient yourself and say, what am I doing? How am I going to face this difficulty? How am I going to do it? Well, there it is. I am responsible. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve Do you see the circle? And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Next paragraph, right? The finish of the paragraph. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what's done to you. Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken and all the effects of your mistakes will disappear. It's impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of Him. You being that which you seek, you being the source and the receiver of all your thoughts, how could it be coming from the outside? First, we have awareness. Then, we have understanding. Then, we have an awakening to this truth. Then, we have it enlighten our life as you apply it. And then you are liberated. It happens like that. Step at a time. As you will afford. As you will choose to focus and allow it to happen to you. By you. Okay, David. Paragraph 5. Or who's up to... Am I reading? Who's up to reading? New guy?
You're up.
He just read?
You're up.
I'm up.
David. Oh, yeah.
I'm up. Okay. Paragraph 5. The world you see is but the idle witness that you were right. Remember I told you last week, I think it was Henry Ford?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think you're wrong or you think you're right, you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
The world you see is but the idle witness that you were right. This witness is insane. You trained it in its testimony. And as it gave it back to you, you listened and convinced yourself that what it saw was true. You did this to yourself. Is this Course in Miracles? Couldn't you pick this out as Course in Miracles after hearing this
mm-hmm.
in the blue? If you saw this on a billboard, you'd say, wait a minute, that's Course in Miracles. See only this, and you will also see how circular the reasoning on which your, quote, seeing rests. You did this to yourself. Do you see the circle? This was not given you. This was your gift to you and to your brother. Be willing then to have it taken from him and be replaced with truth. And as you look upon the change in him, it will be given you to see it in yourself.
That's really...
Are you the teacher? Are you the learner? I can't tell. I can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. Giving and receiving are the same. Teaching and learning are the same. Yourself and yourself are the same. Seek no further than your own mind. You're only one thought away from that which you seek. Always. Do know this, though. It ain't coming to save you. Nothing's coming to save you. That's the bad news. The good news is, you don't need saving. It is you who are the Savior. You were created as the very thing you seek in your heart of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You're it. Just go still and learn it to be true. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Take charity for the love of
that. I mean, it just
you remind me of
that. Well, I saw that.
You always look at the
phone.
You get something to
it. Yeah.